Father, we pray that we might hear your voice today and know your presence and hope in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, you may not have noticed, but Advent has begun. Christmas trees are appearing everywhere. Tinsel has exploded. And our shops seem to be filled with more Christmas carols and sleigh bell things than ever before. Everyone is counting down the days to the grand entry of the person we've all been waiting for. Santa. But of course, we're not waiting for Santa, we're waiting for Jesus. And what he brings is a gift, but not one that we can return to a store for a credit, nor one where we get an unbelievable discount, but something far more substantial and wonderful. Because God's gift to us, which we remember in this Advent season, is the gift of hope and peace and love and joy. So today I want to have a little look at this gift of hope. And to remember that Advent is not simply the season where we look back to the incarnation, but when we look forward to what God is doing amongst us in our world today. Because God's work is yet to reach its culmination, its high point, its conclusion in Christ's return. Talking about hope, I think, in today's world is more important than ever before, because if we're honest, if you look around the world, hope seems to be in pretty short supply. The faces may change, but the problem always seems to be the same, doesn't it? Whether it's dictators backslapping each other on the world stage, whether it's millions slowly starving through siege, whether it's billionaires somehow washing their needs for a big tax cut while the legitimate needs of refugees for safety and security just seems to be a problem. Whether it's women who've endured unbelievable harassment being depicted as bullies while the men who have perpetrated such crimes get seen to be presented as good blokes who are the real victims in all of this. Our world seems to know no end to violence or oppression or exclusion. So we live in a world where hope seems to be in short supply. And many people in our world, I think, confuse hope with wistful fantasy. Whether it's winning the lottery, or thinking that somehow that awful diagnosis we've received will just disappear magically overnight. Many people in our world spend their lives wishing that things could somehow be different. And yet when they wake up, everything still looks the same. They work hard, but they never feel like they get ahead. Is it any wonder that so many prefer the fantasy offered by Netflix than real hope? But hope is something different. Hope is not a vain, wistful thing for the future, but it's our confidence in what God will do in this world. It's our confidence in God's unshakable character and God's goodness, that God's work will reach its conclusion. Hope is something we can lean into. Hope is something we can lean out of, because hope keeps us going through the longest days and the darkest nights. So how do we lean into this hope? I think we lean into hope whenever we discover Jesus is at the center of our life, that Jesus is the sun around which we orbit. But this is never easy, because our eyes so often mislead us. Our eyes are so easily captured by what lies in front of us, aren't they? I was struck by this when my family had the opportunity to take a nighttime hike in Yosemite National Park. Now, I know the idea of a nighttime hike in a park filled with cougars and bears is hardly something that gets you all enthusiastic, particularly in the middle of the night. And it gets particularly worse when your guide tells you to turn off all your torches and you are standing there in the middle of the dark, in the silence, wondering what's going to happen next. But here's the thing, a torch only works by illuminating that which stands immediately in front of you. It comes at the expense of seeing everything that surrounds you. So if you're lost in a national park, a torch is probably the worst thing that you can have. It might stop you from stumbling over a tree branch, but it won't help you to see the mountains that form the valley in which you sit. It won't help you find the creek that bubbles beside you. A torch may stop you worrying, but it will never help you find your way out. And so I think the daily worries that crowd in upon us are always encouraging us to scramble around for that torch, to put on that little light so that we can see our feet. But hope always encourages us to look up, to look out, to see where we truly are, so that life can really become very different. Hope draws our eyes to the grander picture, to see that somehow, no matter how bad things might seem right now, God is never finished with us. Just like God was never done with Judah. You know, the prophet Jeremiah has a pretty bad reputation as the bad news guy. No one wants to be a Jeremiah'd in today's world. Have you noticed that? But that's not the whole story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah looked ahead with hope. Although he saw the nation being overwhelmed with destruction, although he saw how many would feel desolate and broken, Jeremiah saw that God was not done with Jerusalem. He saw that a new day would dawn, that God would finish his promises to save the nation and to make the city secure for everyone. He saw that a righteous branch, a true and fresh shoot, would sprout from David's family. And he looked ahead with confidence for that true leader who would come to put things right and make righteousness a reality. Yes, Jeremiah looked forward to a king, someone who would do what no other king could do or would do, a king that would restore everything that was lost, but also make things so much better than they ever could be imagined. For Jeremiah, hope had a long horizon, far greater than his own lifetime. He looked beyond the present challenges, the tree roots over which everyone stumbled, to see something far greater that was yet to come. Although Jeremiah looked forward to the coming of Jesus, we sit in a different position, don't we? We need to reach back to hold on to what Jesus did, for he is the fulcrum around which everything is renewed and restored. Christ is the sure anchor in our lives because goodness never moves. When we lean into Christ, we find ourselves wanting what God wants. And God responds by pouring his life into ours, and hope begins to flourish. This is what Paul saw when he wrote to that small and struggling congregation in the city of Thessalonica. Paul could see all their short-term problems and worries, but he could also see the long-term horizon and what God was doing among them. Yes, it was easy for them to get blindsided by all their short-term worries and pains, but he was hopeful about their long-term future, because he could see how God was at work in the midst of the community, building up a people of love, a people who were so generous and overwhelmingly filled with love that it splashed all about, not only within the city, but would spread out through the whole world. That's what Paul saw. That's what he prayed for. Paul didn't pray that their troubles would cease like we might be tempted to. Instead, he prayed that love would abound amongst them even more. He prayed that God's love wouldn't simply splash their feet a little bit, but it would overflow everywhere. That is a prayer of hope. A prayer that's not transfixed by something in the short term, like a torch, but something that sees outwards into the world around us to see God's character, God's being at work, restoring the world, making things the way they should be. This is why hope is such a gift for us at Advent. It's not something that we can simply lean into, but it's something we can lean out from. Because the good news that is given to us in Jesus is not just for us, it's for the whole world. We lean into Christ so that we can lean out into the whole world. We hear of this in Jesus' words from Luke today. I know that many of us find these words really frightening and confronting. Well, they are not necessarily words we associate with Christmas, are they? If anything, we've only heard these words spoken of from wide-eyed prophets, people who use and misuse these words to strike fear into people's hearts. They often depict Jesus as somehow undergoing a personality transplant. You know, as though Jesus came filled with love and grace, but when he returns, he's going to be filled with burning wrath and unquenchable anger. But I don't think that's right. I don't think fear is Jesus' objective with these words. And the complex image of the Son of Man coming with the clouds of great power and glory is not one of fear and trepidation, but one of hope. Because God's work of love and grace that started with the incarnation, which culminated in the crucifixion, would reach its crescendo with the resurrection. But Jesus is foreshadowing his vindication. And that as summer follows winter, as surely as day follows night, we have something to look forward to. That God's righteousness and justice will be established in this world forever. That a work that began with grace and love will yet create an abundance of yet more grace and love. I think we hear this in the parable of the fig tree. I don't think it's an image of fevered divination so much as it is to be for us a sign of sure hope, of greater things to come, of what began with Christ's incarnation flows out into this world through the resurrection, through God's coming again. This is a picture of how God's kingdom comes into our world. About this time last year, my family planted a garden. We put in camellias and pear trees. We planted heaps of salvia and a few crepe myrtles. And it was so wonderful watching this garden grow and change colour. And as winter settled in, everything began to look lifeless, especially those crepe myrtles. And I began to feel worried. As August arrived, the trees just looked like bare sticks. September came around, and while everything was having buds appear on them, the myrtles still looked more like firewood. October wandered around, and so I found myself wandering around these myrtles, wondering whether I should pull them out or whether I should wait a little bit more. Little did I know that myrtles protect their fragile leaves from the cold because they are waiting for the warmth of the November sun. And slowly but surely, the tiniest slivers, which look more like splinters than buds, began to emerge. Small leaves slowly unfolded, but within a short time, the whole tree began to burst into life. The resurrection is that bud. The resurrection is that splinter on a branch that seems so lifeless. But it waits. It unfolds. It's that moment when our world is set free, because justice and righteousness can't be contained by this world. The bud shows that evil and darkness will not prevail, that life swallows up death, that goodness wipes the floor with evil, that truth prevails over lies and misdirection. Jesus' resurrection trumps his crucifixion. And so we can lean out in this hope, because in Jesus, justice and righteousness has begun. What we see is but a bud and a splinter, but we know that summer is coming. The leaves are unfolding. The world is changing. That is our hope in Christ. That we can be different, that the world can be different, that the future is not determined by the past, that our brokenness does not have the last word. There is more to come. Jesus is coming into the world. The kingdom is growing in this world, even though we may not see it. God's gift of hope has been given, and it is flowering. This is why Christians have long stood up against tyranny wherever it is found. This is why Christians have stood for equality whenever it has been needed. So in this season of Advent, let us lean into Christ so that we can lean out in hope for the sake of the world. God calls us to look up and out, to see the buds on the tree branches that surround us, to take hope in the summer that is coming. So don't live your life trapped by the way it looks right now, but look ahead to what is yet to come. God's kingdom is coming, and it is bringing more grace and love than we could ever imagine. It's not wistful fantasy, but this is God's desire to change the world by changing us, turning us into a people of hope for the sake of the world. Amen.